Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
While we're standing, I just wanted to just honor all the vets. You know, my grandpa was in World War II. My dad was a captain in the Marine Corps, served during Vietnam. My brother's currently in the Navy. So I am passionate about this country, and I'm passionate about our military. And if you didn't know, 22 vets take their life every day. 22. It's ridiculous. That's why we pray for them. That's why we honor them. That's why we encourage them. We are living in a land of freedom because of all those that have served and currently serving. So I take it as serious as a heart attack when we're going to honor our vet. Matter of fact, I bought a guy this morning, 5 a.m., a coffee at Starbucks, and he got so shaken, I ended up buying told my wife we're handing out cards all day long today just to bless people. So let's make sure we hug them, love them, and pray for them. Be bold today. And another thing, just while we're standing celebrating, we're celebrating the Hollies. They just got back. This is their little baby boy that they've been praying for, believing for, standing in faith for. They flew out to the Midwest. And right here, we're celebrating. So, just want to, forget it. Why don't we pray for you? Come on. God, we thank you for this amazing couple. God, we thank you for prayers answered. God, we thank you for this little miracle. God, and we thank you that they're incredible parents and they know what it's like to fight and stand in faith for something they've been holding so dear to their heart. God, we know you're a good, good father. And God, we just ask that you anoint them as incredible parents, that you bless them. And we pray for this little, beautiful baby being raised in the house with angels surrounding their family and his future. In the name of Jesus, we pray and agree. Amen. Come on. We love you guys. Oh, shoot. Well, I got all the kinks out of the first service, so, you should thank them. Feel bad. I was like, shoot. Oh, what a service. Everyone was so quiet, and I'm like, God, should I change the message? Like, what happened? And, they felt like they were just taking punches. And he's like, well, it's kind of like how you feel when you're working out with your personal trainer. He's kicking your butt, and you're quiet the whole time. That's what just happened. Every once in a while, you need a good workover. And I really felt like I'm not changing a stupid thing. We're going to stand on. We're going to go after it. We're going to pray. So I'm going to pray right now that you guys can handle the workout. So God, I thank you for an amazing congregation that stands in faith, that steps up. God, we thank you that we're in the truth series and we're speaking truth today, that we can pick up what you're putting down. And God, I thank you for favor over this house. God, we ask for your blessing to fall. May you forever reign. And we walk under your favor. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's get into it. I love it. First of all, I got to give it up for James and Isaac. Well, those poor guys. I'm sending them pictures and last-minute videos, and then I preach, and they're like, there was like 20, verses you didn't give us. Sorry. I'm sorry. Thanks for keeping my mic on. You guys are amazing. So, yeah, you guys are good. You can tell when the anointing music goes away. It was like, oh, man, Lord, help me. A couple things, just pretty awesome. Just a couple announcements of faith. We got the Descanso building. Hello. Yeah, I'm going to preach on it today. Look at that thing. Oh, man. Oh, come on, look at this. Do you know what Descanso means? Descanso means rest, and Rancho Santa Fe means holy something. There it is. You know, you say holy cow all the time. But yeah, it's holy faith and rest. It's amazing because three of the four partners on this building said, we knew this was for a church. We knew this was for a church. You know, and what's so amazing is it was for a church, but just a church of faith. Because, you know, other churches had that building, put money down on that building. But it's a church of faith that got the building. You might say, oh, yeah, aren't all churches faith? Nope. We're going to go after that today. We're going to tell a little truth like it is. You know, Think Like Heaven, this little book. So all my resources today were out of the Word of God. This book, Pastor Phil's book called Faith. What do you know, since I'm preaching on faith. And I'm thinking, how many of you want to, you know, think like heaven? Anybody? Any takers? Good. Good. Handful. 90%. Hopefully by the end there's 100%. I mean, think like heaven. What a revelation. But I can tell you when I've been raised in the church, and it's amazing how I can go 30 years in the church and not think like heaven. I thought like a lot of things, but I wasn't thinking like heaven. So I'm telling you, if you want to hashtag anything, my message today is called Leak-Proof Faith, Think Like Heaven. It's amazing. You're like, what do you mean leak-proof? Well, how many of you know we can leak faith? Okay, just me. Well, listen, here's what happens. On Sunday, in worship, I get saved all over again. I come back for a second dose of the Holy Ghost at night because now I'm going to really operate because I want to go into Monday working out of overflow. So I get filled up the first. I'm working out of overflow pretty much the second service, third service. I mean, I'm a real holy Christian by then. But I roll into Monday full throttle. Good thing for Tuesday is I have men's prayer. So I get a little sharpened. Wednesday, I forget, it's hump day. I'll just get over it, suck it up, push it through, grab the straw, let's go. Thursday, it's my wife slapping me around because she went to women's prayer, so I'm automatically corrected. Friday, leaking faith. Saturday, barely limping through the day. Sunday, boom, altar call again. Thank God for Sundays. Oh, none of you do that, just your pastor. Okay. You guys are so holy. Listen, I don't want to take you away from some of my awesome jokes last service. It's like, what do you call a sleepwalking nun? Sleepwalking nun. Anybody? A roaming Catholic. You like that? Kind of funny. And I did give props. I did a little shout out. Is my friend Ryan here? Did you make it? Ryan? He'll listen to the podcast probably. He always tells me he's coming every Sunday. You know your friends? They go to Christmas and Easter all the time, but they always say they're going to be there on Sunday. I'm going to ask for him every time I preach. He promised he was coming. I hope you're listening to this podcast. But Ryan, he did tell me last time, listen, I got a new iPhone. I was on the way and it said no service. So I turned around and went home. Yeah, it's okay. You can have fun in church, people. If you're new, I promise, just come back tonight. It'll be powerful. You know, but honestly, what was going down tonight was I was preparing to preach tonight and it was going to be 2 points and a move of God. It was going to be ministry night, Holy Spirit, power. It was going to be awesome. And then I got called by Pastor Leanne and said, you're up. How many know we go to a yes church? Yeah. You don't say no to your pastors. Hence, thank you, Charlie, for saying yes to coming up. Bold, man. Come on. How many know that was a great word? Let's give it up. We're a yes church. So if we call you and you come up and pray, just say yes. It's going to be awesome. So I said yes, and then I go, oh, man, what am I going to preach on? It was amazing because a couple weeks ago, I always know I got to preach on what I get convicted on. You know, if you ever have a something that bothers you, that means you need to pray for that person. So if someone bugs you, pray for them because there's something in you that you need to reconcile with. And so when Rex Crane was here for Pathfinders, he rattled me a little bit. And then when he came and preached, it was like, man, I felt like he knocked some stuff loose. You know what he knocked loose? Next level faith. Yeah. You know, because when I came to this church, I'd been a Christian my whole life, and I realized I had never gone to a faith church. I went to a good Logos teaching church, but when I came in here, I heard something fresh, real, and powerful. I came to a faith church where our pastor has faith. You know, Pastor Phil Pringle, C3 Oxford Falls, wrote a book on faith. He's always known as the preacher of faith, the doctor of faith. He'll go after, he'll get words of knowledge people, he'll get things to heal. And when I was hanging out with Rex Crane, he said, it's amazing. I only read miracles out of the Bible because that's what I want to operate in. I go, really? And he goes, oh, yeah, I always, because, you know, you could you know, leak faith as well. But I always want to be full of faith because it's someone's miracle's waiting. He goes, I'll pray for anyone, anytime, anywhere, because I'm full of miracle power of faith. You believe in our God is the God of miracles. So he rattled me, and I started, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I started thinking to myself, I wonder how my faith level is. And God started revealing to me at men's prayer and how I came in this house just exactly where my faith was. And he says, make sure you're not leaking faith. And I really what I want to preach on is, how do we leak-proof ourselves? How do we stay full of faith, not only on a Sunday, but Monday through Sunday, at a level where if your pastor called, he'll step up and pray for the congregation. If your pastor called, you'd give a tithe message. I'd never given one before. We'll do it anyways. Would your friend be in a hospital and you get the call? See, that's what happened to me and Pastor John's preaching tonight, moving in power tonight, just like he did last Sunday night. And he said, when I called him up, I said, hey, I'm preaching in the morning, but I know you're a bold man of faith. You want to come Sunday night. And he said, I'm bringing a word and I'm bringing the heat and the Holy Spirit's going to set some people free. So if you've never experienced that before, I just say, stretch yourself, stretch your faith and come tonight. So I want to read this verse, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'll stand on this verse my entire sermon, just so you understand, so I'll read it again. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Hebrews 11:16, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, when I came to C3... I'm going to tell you a couple things. One, I was offended all the time. And like Charlie said, you know, what are they preaching about money for? I mean, that was ridiculous. Second of all, what do you mean miracles are for today? What do you mean praying in tongues? That's of the devil. That's how I was raised. I had to sit there and listen to this stuff, and I would leave so ticked off. But by the time I got home, I was totally convicted. I mean, I'm never going back to that church. And I show up again the next Sunday. And either offended or cried, and that went on for 6 months, and I always preach about it. And you know why I'm always going to preach about it? Because I never want to forget where I came from. So you're like, oh, yeah, he said that before. I don't have Alzheimer's. I'm just telling you, I say it for myself. I'll never go back to that place, and I'll tell you why. I was a Christian, and I had weak faith, weak sauce, and I never moved in the power of God. I came to this house. I got through my offense. I got through the healing. I got stretched in my faith. I got stretched in my belief and said, where do my thoughts come from? I'm a product of my preachers, teachers, and parents. But what does the word of God say? Because it says right here, huh? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not my pastor, not my dad. I thought my dad was the word of God. His belt was the word of something. But I'm telling you, I had this man faith. Yeah. I grew up in a strong family, and you know what? Great God-fearing parents. But it was amazing. I look back today and I realized things would have turned out a whole lot different if I went to a faith church. Right. My dad and mom may have operated a whole lot different. You know, my dad lost a $12 million deal. We lost everything. My parents were married for 32 years and lost their marriage. It was amazing. The pastor never said anything. He just said, I'm sorry. So here's a little bit different if you don't know this. This is the house of transformation. This is the faith church. Our pastor came over here all the way from. He said, I'm standing on faith. God, I don't know anybody, but I know you. And he built this house. North Campus was the first campus ever purchased in faith. Now we own a south building. We just launched an east campus. We're the first campus to purchase a second building in faith. How many know that it's good to have a pastor of faith? There wasn't just teaching, there was empowerment. There wasn't just a thought, there was vision. There's, you know, I grew up in a Logos church. It was a word church, a good teaching church, but there was no Rhema. Didn't even know what that word was. I went to Bible college and they didn't even talk about Rhema word. What the word is saying, not what the word said. You can do that study. It was amazing. I was looking at all the things. You know, North must have the most faith. We just got the biggest building. Pastor Stacy Capaldi from South is here. Let's just stretch out our hand. God, just thank you. We're one church, many locations in the name of Jesus. Thank you. With the most faith at North. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for a congregation that believes. But listen, I want to get back to this Bible faith or man faith. You know, there's a difference between thinking, understanding, and believing in your heart. Faith versus hope. This is what flipped my mind out when I started reading and pressing. I want to know these things. Example, you hope for finances to meet your obligations that we have to pay. We hope we make our bills. But see, here's the difference. Faith gives you the assurance that you'll have the money when you need to. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. Or you might not catch me yet, but here's the deal. You hope for physical strength, you can do the work you must do. But faith says, the Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27. See, hope is a good waiter, not a good receiver. Faith receives. Hope doesn't receive. Well, let's keep going with it. See, because I don't want you to have an agreeing mentality. I want you to start to believe it in your heart. See, I grew up with an agreeing. I agreed with the word, but I didn't own it in my heart. See, what I started to understand, that Christian life isn't a playground, it's a battleground. And when we start to understand that, we start thinking about faith a whole lot different. Because I always want to know, why do some prayers get answered and some don't? We're going to talk about it. So listen, I want to talk about Thomas faith and Abraham faith. I grew up in a church, we had Thomas faith. I'm more of a scientist, researcher background. I'm very passionate about what I do, but it came from a Thomas mentality, not an Abraham mentality. So let me share with you the difference real quick. A Thomas, which is head mentality, John 20, 25 through 29. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in through the wall, people. Probably freaked him out. Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." See, the world says believing is seeing. The kingdom, the Bible says believing is seeing. See, when we move, he moves, is how this house has taught me. But I was raised in just believe for it, wait on the Lord. And when I could see it, my belief was strengthened. Now I've realized I want Abraham faith. So what's the difference? The difference is right here, Abraham faith, which is a heart faith. Genesis 15, 4 through 6. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now towards the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them all.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." And it was amazing. This is extraordinary, unwavering belief that Abraham had in God's word. The word was enough for him. But then it goes on in Romans, where I love it, because Paul wants to write this. Paul writes, "Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, 'So shall your descendants be.' And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead." He was about 100 years old. "The deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he had promised what he had promised, he was also able to perform." If God said it, Abraham believed him, and the promise was sure. And you could tell, because, you know, he was the father of faith. Here he gets his son Isaac, and then he's going to go up and give him away like that. But he knew he had so much faith, if he was going to get his son, God could resurrect him. God would do something. I mean, that is faith at a level that can challenge our own beliefs. I want Abraham faith. I want to challenge myself. Can I have Abraham faith in a world that has Thomas faith? So where do we go from here? Well, good. I'm glad you asked. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Mark 11:24 says this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have it, receive it, and it will be yours." Does that not challenge you? See, I've heard that. I've heard that. But have I heard that? Let me read it again. Mark 11:24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have, receive it, and it will be yours." So what happens? Why do things not come through? Why do some prayers not get answered? I want to give a little revelation that I've been having. I have had. Number one is wrong thinking, believing, and confessing. What are we believing about that statement? What are we thinking about that statement? And what are we confessing about that statement? Where are we giving our belief system from? I'll tell you the number one thing is they say it used to be 8 hours a day. Now it's 9.5. Television. Where do we get most of our, the news, the television? Where are we hissing? Let's go back to this. We must have forgot this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we're spending 3.5 hours, if we're spending more time in front of the television than we are the word of God, what are we hearing? What's our default? Where is our faith coming from? Because the last time I watched the news, it was fear, negative reports. When was the last time you heard of an amazing story on the news? Amazing, you can Google it, and you can cry after an hour of Googling inspirational stories, but you gotta look for it. But it's amazing because God was saying that even Christians, where's their faith monitor at if you're watching the news all the time? Why do you even read the newspaper? Why are we programmed to get the information from those sources when they don't edify our spirits or build us up on the inside? It's amazing. We don't read the news. I mean, we do read the news, but you shouldn't read the news. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit of God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Amen. So where do we get that from? We're getting that Spirit of God from the Word if we're in the Word. If not, we're getting some sort of other spirit because God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. It's amazing. What you focus on expands. What you meditate on, you become more of. And it's amazing. If we're going to draw a line in sand, if we're going to say, why can a church believe for a 70,000 square foot building? I can't even believe for a home. Why can't you? God said all things are possible. It's amazing. Then we start to have doubt built up, and then the next thing is, what's our confession? We start to confess doubt. When people say, "I believe I'm going to get my healing," that's not faith. That's called hope. You're hoping for something. My brother's in the Navy. Hope is never a good strategy, he told me one time. I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I don't go on a mission and hope it goes well. Every mission I'm on is successful." He does. He plans all the missions. He goes, "I never would tell my soldiers, we hope it goes well. We know it goes well. Every time. We're in and out. We're victorious. We win. Every time." He goes, "Get rid of that word hope." I'm like, "What do you do? Talking to me? It's Pastor Matt. You're my brother, punk. Come on." You know, it was amazing because the practical thing is when I came into this house, I had so much logos in my brain. So much logos in my brain. Here I met this girl on a plane to Vegas. She comes in, gets saved. Oh, I'm going to have to teach her the Bible. 2 weeks later, she's praying in tongues. 9 months later, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's my problem? All this belief that I had pre-programmed in my brain. All this belief that was keeping me from the truth of the Word of God. Was I in my Word trying to challenge? No, I was just listening to preachers. It wasn't until I got in the Word to have my own revelation of my spirit that I received the Holy Spirit, that I started to operate differently. And if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you. It's amazing how many people I meet that they hope they receive the gift. They hope, and they wonder why they don't. Don't confess sickness. You know, for example, you know, it's just like we want to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for my healing. I believe that my heart is well. I believe my body is restored." But so many people, "I hope I get better. I hope I get healed. I'm hoping for my friend. Hey, can we pray?" So in Matthew 18:19, it says this, "Again, Truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. But these are my lessons I've learned having men's prayer meeting. I have it for myself. If there was just five of us, I'd always show up. The fact that there's 70 other dudes, I'm pumped out of my mind. Come on. Iron sharpens iron. Why do we have a church that's growing? It's because a bunch of men decided, let's get together and sharpen each other, hold accountability. The women are on Thursday. But I'm telling you, this is where it is. And we can't come to men's prayer and you know, be okay with letting our brother off the hook. We have to learn this somewhere. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But this is so crazy because I had this revelation on prayer and why some don't work. So hear what my revelation was. God doesn't change. God never fails. Prayer doesn't change God. He is the same before you pray and the same after you pray. Here it is. This will rattle some people. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes circumstances. He is always the same, and that he means he is always faithful to his word. Prayer changes circumstances. God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. When we line up to his word, God is faithful. It's amazing. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So this is the revelation. If two are praying, this is what I find. One is hoping, the other is believing. That's not agreement. It says, where two or more gather and agree in my name. But see, I'll pray for somebody, and we'll pray. Let's say we're praying for healing. Afterwards, I'll be like, all right, go ahead and get up and walk. I hope it's better. I still feel it. Now, see, I was believing you were healed. You're hoping you were healed. We're not agreeing. We got to, language matters. Words matter. That says you got to believe for a thing. Let's believe for it. Let's not say I hope for it. If one is believing and one is hoping, that's not agreement. We want to see a church of miracles, walk in the miraculous, walk into hospitals, pray, prophesy, take an agreement. You know, I love it when Pastor Mark walked in to a hospital bed where Pastor John, it was just John at the time, went to a different church. He said, does everyone agree and believe in healing? He said, he didn't. If anyone would have said hope, you're out the room. He was that bold. I mean, listen, he fasted all day. He believed he got Isaiah 58. He was going to prophesy over John. And guess what? John was healed the next day. Every blood test came back totally healed. But the difference was he wasn't going to sit around a bunch of hopers. He needed some believers. And I'm telling you, now Pastor John walks in that same authority. If he doesn't hope, he believes and people get healed. It's amazing the difference. What happened after that? I said, where did you learn how to pray with that boldness and that belief? He says, get in the word and read these books. See, while the world is telling you to read about this and read about that and awake the giant within, I was reading Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, God's Generals. I wanted to see men of faith that would have the huevos rancheros to throw a baby against a wall. The guts. Is that not what huevos rancheros means? Okay, yeah, guts. Just joking. So he'd have the guts to like find a dead person and throw him up against the wall and say, alive in the name of Jesus, throw him again, and then bam, the fourth time, wake up, and he was alive. That takes a bold faith. But we live in America and sometimes we get comfortable. But you go to a third world nation where they don't have it. They have witchcraft, they have other dark powers. You better walk in some bold belief. I'm just trying to get us ready, church, because we have Mike Connell coming to North Campus, and he's not coming up here because he's hoping to get some people delivered. He's coming up here to show, to impart, to teach, so that we can all operate in getting our friends set free and delivered. It's the next level of believing in our heart. So let's hold fast to the confession. So Matthew 21:22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So what do we got to do? Listen, we can go back and study the word of God that talked about the spies in the land. Okay, Caleb and Joshua. 12 were sent out, 2 came back with positive reports. The truth did not change. There were giants in the land, but the report was a report of life. We can take it. We can do it. The other 10 doubters never saw the promised land. What are you speaking? What are you confessing? Reports of faith speak life. Having what I say in my ministry, in my finances, in my family, in my marriage. What are we saying about our confession of buying a home, taking territory, buying land, buying commercial real estate? What's the desires of your heart? Who are you standing and agreeing with? It matters. when you come to men's prayer, like, we got to start self-correcting each other. It says iron sharpens iron. If you're sitting there on a dull blade, let them know. That thing's dull, man. Don't speak that. Speak life. Correction is where we find power. So, you know, one time I wanted this house on the canyon. I lived in this condo. I just got married, and I said, we're going to get this canyon home. And I was believing that we were going to stand in faith, tell my wife we're going to get this. I would run by, and then all of a sudden, this one canyon home came up on the market. I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. I went over there. It looked like someone was dying inside. There was a bed down the living room. It was not pretty. But I'll tell you what, I felt faith rise on the inside of me. I'll never forget. I was in church. Pastor Jurgen prophesied over me on the exact day that I needed that next level of faith and prophesied and told me, step out. You can do this. You can handle it. It was just this general, but I'll never forget something shift on the inside of me. Came on, I said, we're getting that house on the canyon. We didn't know how. We didn't know why. We got that house. Turned into the most gorgeous house. We loved living there. We loved everything about it. And then God said, it's a new season. Because, I mean, our connect groups, Pastor Stacy was making a split like every 3 weeks. It was annoying. You know, I was like trying to huddle all these people forever. And she'd come over just to pretend like she's coming to our connect group. She loved us. Nope, it was to tell us, raise and release, raise and release. But we did faithfully. But God told me that's where men's prayer started. And it says, you've been faithful with little, and I'm going to increase you to much. And I promise you. Then as we were driving around, I found our dream home. Well, maybe it's not their final dream home. We're looking up here. It's kind of nice up here. Doesn't even stretch my faith now. We'll take anything. I mean, just put me on Redfin. I don't care how much it is. I'm like, yep, come on. If we feel the peace of God over it, we're taking it. Because guess what? Bold faith will do that. We're not going to let fear limit our beliefs. Just because I can't see a thing doesn't mean I'm not believing for it. I have changed my faith doctrine, what I speak, what I say, what I believe. We're going to take territory. We're going to do it as a family. You wait and see. So what I'm telling you about this next house is, man, I just read Circle Maker. I felt like I just got out of church. God said, now's the time. It's a now time. And this is what I'm telling you. We got that. We went to that house. My wife and I, she jumped that thing in a skirt. It was amazing. She's a gymnast, though. She can do that. We circled that property. She said, I'm circling it once. I circled it the rest of the time. We prophesied over that house. And I told my real estate agent, this is what God told me about that house. She goes, I'm not representing you. I'm like, what do you mean? Goes to my church, different faith. I said, this is the offer I want to make. Nope, I'm not doing it. I lost a friendship over that house. Do I want to miss the promise of God, or am I willing to sacrifice a friendship? I'll tell you, I look back, I wouldn't change a thing. I called my mom. I said, Mom, this is what God told me. This is my house. I'm going to believe for it. This is what God told me to offer. He told me what to offer. He told me the exact details. I stood in faith where everybody but my mom thought I was crazy. And we got that house. And I'm telling, I'm preaching about it, and I preached about it over and over again. But it's that same thing. I'm going to keep telling it because I never want to forget. The little areas of faith is called my success tracker. I go through and I read about my miracles because if God showed up once, see, my belief was different back then. I was a baby believer, and I got my canyon home. And that stretched me. I go, man, I can believe for a canyon home. I can believe for my big home. And when I got my big home, I was like, bam, okay. My faith increases as I increase. The more I get into the Word of God, the more my faith increases. And if it's good for me, I'll keep going back to look at the successes. Because what God was faithful with me was there was what I could handle. And now I'm bench pressing this. And pretty soon I'm going to be bench pressing this. There is no ceiling on my life. And you got to be careful who's speaking over your life. I still have people today, oh, you're in the marketplace saying, I don't know how you do it, blah, blah, blah. Listen, half the time I'm at dinner with these people, I'm just saying cancel. It doesn't matter what their belief is for my life. It matters what God says about my life. And the same is true for you. You don't want anyone to tell you what your limitations are, what you can and cannot do. God is your provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is with you. And the minute that we have that revelation, we walk in a new level of certainty, a new level of boldness. But if you're hanging out with friends because you don't want to lose them, they're putting a ceiling over your life, then you have more fear of your friends than fear of the Lord. And I'm challenging you today to start to get that fear of the Lord on the inside of you to stretch your faith. So, FOG, favor of God. I know too many Christians that hashtag it, but don't live it. The difference is if you're going to hashtag, I have favor of God in my life, start acting like it. If two people walk in for that job that you're believing for, why would they have more faith? They're an unbeliever. you should be walking in feeling sorry for him. And after you get the job, invite him to church because it was an unfair advantage. All right, I want to build some faith. You got that video? Let me read this scripture. Can we do it, James? Isaac? Probably. Here, I'm going to read this scripture. Here we go. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made your good confession is the presence of many witnesses. Here's what I'm telling you. It's amazing how much we talk about the devil. We weren't called to fight the devil. Jesus already won. We weren't called to fight sin. It's already been defeated on the cross. We were taught fight the good fight of faith. If we can play this, play it.
The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure. I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything He has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. I will make no excuses, but through every obstacle, I will find a way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. Even if I lose the battle, I will win the war because I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't have what it takes, that my best is behind me, or that humiliation awaits me. The devil is a liar, and my God always causes me to triumph. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will fight. I'm unashamed to represent a kingdom that is unshakable. No one will be able to stand against God's plan for me all the days of my life. With my God, I will advance against every troop. With his help, I will scale every wall. Though my enemies surround me, my God surrounds my enemies. Though they may come at me one way, they will flee seven ways. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every evil thing that rises against me, I will condemn, I will fight. My heart is steadfast. My purpose is immovable. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. And my potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives within me. I will fight. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. I'll never turn back. I'll never give up. I'll never settle. I'll never stop short. I will press toward the mark for the prize that is already mine. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from my God. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? I will fight.
Come on. Who needed that this morning? Come on, that's what I'm talking about. This isn't hype, my friends. We got to get a little fight on the inside of us. And coming from a 30-year vet of weak sauce Christianity, I'm not going to allow this congregation to do what I went through. You got to get a little fight on the inside of you, and it's called leak-proof your faith. My uncle, who I respect, I love. Let me tell you, in 1990, he went over to Romania. He was a playboy, very successful in all businesses. Everything he touches, he's always had that anointing. It's probably from my grandpa blessing him all the time as a pastor, but I'm telling you, he went over there, had an encounter with the holy God. It rattled him to his core. He saw supernatural things. A guy was over there prophesying over his life, reading his mail about everything that was going on in his life. He saw people get supernaturally healed when they were going to go eat soup. he was about to go in, and they stopped him, and they had pulled out this little instrument, and there was radiation in the soup, and he pushed it away. But after 3 days and really hungry, they prayed over that soup, put that thing back over it, and the radiation was gone. He says, we always pray over our meals here. And it was amazing. My uncle came back, lit on fire, changed him forever, but this is what happened. He came back, he got every one of his friends saved, one of the greatest evangelists. For 10 years, I saw him just destroying the enemy. Man, he came home with the girl he was living with, he married. Everything he touched was just favor of the Lord, but he didn't surround himself with good Christian friends. He didn't get planted in a church because he was in the word only. And I saw him slowly start to isolate. He was leaking his faith. And so this way, he's disenchanted with the church. His life is definitely not where it was, sidetracked, taken out by the enemy. And I'm telling you, if there's one thing we got to fight for, we got to fight for faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, I say it again, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. So how do we do it? I'm going to leave you with this, and then I'm going to pray. In the New Testament, you can go read on the woman with the issue of blood. In Mark 5, it was 26 through 35. What she did, she went after her miracle. She had been bleeding her whole life. But just look at that whole passage. Go study the word. But then in the Old Testament, David did the same thing. You know, the devil, you can't stop the devil from talking to you. You can't stop the devil from intimidating. But what you can do is when he's done piping off at the mouth, you can get the last word in. You can say the truth. David did it beautifully when he took down Goliath. And Jesus, in Matthew 4:4, did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, you know, it is written. And he put the devil in place. Jesus didn't even stop the devil from chapping off. So why do we think, don't give him so much energy. Just when he's done, tell him his future. He's already lost. He's going to try to remind you of his past. You tell him what's up. And guess what? You'll see a shift. But here's what I want you to do right here. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You get around someone else that has the same boldness of faith that you're going to get around. If you have to change relationships, friendships, it's just a chance to start looking at them. But here's the four things that I felt like God wanted me to bring today to get us to a church that's going to believe for 16 campuses, that's going to believe for salvations of a lost city. We're going to have 2,500 youth jam-packed in this place. We're going to have to turn this campus over for youth only, figure out a new, bigger building. But here they are. We must educate our spirit, so we must train. How do we do that? One, hold each other accountable, but here are the four things. One, meditate on the word. Number two, practice the word. How do we practice it? Do not fret or have anxiety. God gave us a spirit of peace. Pray for peace beyond all understanding, for a sound mind and a sound heart. You can read Philippians 4:6-7, but practice the word. If you start to have anxiety, get around somebody that can pray for you. The devil tries to intimidate you. Number three, put the word first in our life. Not the TV, not all these other books, and I'm an avid reader. We got to put the word first in our life. And number four, obey our inner voice of our spirit. We're spirit beings. But listen, if you don't meditate on the word, if you don't practice the word, if you don't put the word first in your life, then don't trust your inner voice. Go trust someone's voice that is in the word over your life. It's amazing how people just take their own advice. They go to church on a Sunday. They thought they got, listen, confirm it with the word of God. Get around another believer. It's amazing where two or more agree. Let's agree together. That's why men's prayer is so important. Women's prayer is so important. But meditate, practice the word, put the word first in our life, and obey our inner voice. Proverbs 20:27 says this, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all inner depths of his heart. You know, it's amazing. It's so many times it's our own confessions that screw us up. In Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. That's a New King James Version. In the NIV, it says, you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your own mouth. We got to quit blaming the devil for everything. But if we're around and in the word, we're around other believers, guess what? you start to hear what you're really saying. You start to hear your confessions. Let people correct you. Let people speak into your life. Let people challenge maybe some beliefs that are lacking faith. Last service, I had a word for someone with the house. This service, I have a word for someone that you're about to, the devil's been trying to intimidate you in business. And I feel right now that God's saying, don't be intimidated by the lies of the devil. Seek better counsel. I put you in this business deal for a reason. Where others were intimidated, you have the boldness to walk through it, but align yourself with men of faith to pray you through it. I've given you the way. I would not forsake you halfway through this deal. Do not be intimidated and back down or back out. Don't justify it that it's a small loss now. It could be a big loss later. No, says the Lord, stand in that thing, get around believers, and pray your way through the other side. In the name of Jesus, who is ever that for, do not let the devil intimidate you in that business deal. Bold as a lion. I leave you with this revelation. It's where I got that hashtag by that book, Think Like Heaven. I grew up with my preacher always saying, confess your sins over and over and over again until I felt better. That's all I knew is how I was raised. And I had guilt, condemnation, says the prayer of the righteous. Well, I didn't feel righteous, so I didn't know how to pray. I felt guilty all the time. All I did was talk about my sin most of the time. But I recently learned to confess our righteousness, and it shifted everything for me. What's the difference? See, both confessions are healthy. If you mess up, you should fess up. But then believe what God says about you. Jesus became sin so you didn't have to walk around with it. He made you and he made me righteous. We got to stand in our righteousness. Jesus already took the sin. If he's in your heart, he took your sin as well. Spend more time thinking about who you are instead of who you're not. It's my revelation. So let me pray for us today. Listen, with every head bowed and every eyes closed. If Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, that's the first thing. I'm just going to ask and stand for you in faith to believe. Put him in right center of your heart. He died on a cross for you and me. He bore our sin and our shame so we don't have to walk around with it. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I just ask you today, make a bold statement of faith. I want to pray with you. So if that's you and your heart's beating, you're just wishing I would stop talking, just go ahead and raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning. If you've never asked Jesus in your heart and you want to today, I see your hand. Come on, man. I see that hand up there. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I see your hand. Awesome. Anybody else? I'll just hang out here for a minute. It's such an important decision. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He created us, molded us, designed us. Once you've raised your hand, you can put your hand down. Now, if there's anybody that just says, man, I gave my life to Christ, but I kind of took it back. I've been living my own way, and you just want to rededicate your life, I want to pray for you as well. If there's any of those out there today, any of you out there today that I can pray for, just raise your hand for me. I'm going to pray for you. Great, I see your hand, young lady. Anybody else? Come on, thank you, Lord. Let's all pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on the cross and setting me free. God, I want you on the inside of me to rule and reign for the rest of eternity. I give my heart to you. Teach me your ways. God, and I thank you that I'll live in heaven forever. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Listen, I know I have friends that have a Bible and a book called Following Jesus. We want to get you one of those. So if you raise your hand to rededicate your life or to give your life, my friends are going to come approach you. I know there's about three or four of you. We want to get you a Bible. We want to get you a book. We want to grab some details, pray for you. If you've never been baptized, I encourage you. Next Sunday night, man, we're going to do baptisms. They're off the chain. It's such a powerful moment. Not just about getting dunked in a tank. It's about a new creation. When we have the revelation of whose we are and we can walk in authority, I'm going to preach on it next Sunday. I'm telling you, there's six things that we just don't understand about who we are in Christ that the devil tries to intimidate us. When we have that revelation, we walk in a new authority, a new power. See, if it's good enough for the John G. Lakes or the Wiggleworths or the Pastor Juergens to walk in bold faith, to take ground, take territory, it's good enough for every one of us. We are sons and daughter of the King. And I'm telling you, church, if you just want to go to a church that makes you feel good, you wouldn't want to come here. You want to be empowered. You want to rule and reign in this life. Giving your life to Christ is the first step, and I honor every one of you that gave your life to Christ. Living an epic life for Jesus, I'm telling you, I have two amazing kids. I have a beautiful wife. I'm great in the marketplace. But let me tell you, those desires, I thought I was satisfied. It wasn't until I said, no, I'm going to serve the house of the Lord forever, that I felt a new gear develop in my life, a new muscle show up in my spirit, and to see people get set free and healed, forever changed. You know what eternity means? Eternity. Forever. I mean, that's a long time. This life is like a vapor, but eternity, we'll get to celebrate life for eternity. And here's the thing, don't worry, you won't get stuck with the bad neighbor. That's a joke, but I mean, come on. I think of eternity, I don't want to get stuck with the wrong people next to me in my kingdom home. You won't. Everybody is epic in heaven. It is going to be the epic life. Life more abundantly. So church, be excited about the future. If you've never been to a Connect class, a Grow class, get plugged in. If you've never seen some of the events we put on around here, Empower Conference, Cherish, all the women's events, men's emerges coming up, you got to check it out. I just see too many Christians walking around. It's like I see dead people walking. I don't want it to be this house. I don't want it to be this church. I want to see bold Christians praying, believing, setting people free, realizing their marriage could be a level 10. Their kids could be in the house worshiping level 10. Their businesses could be level 10. Their joy in the workplace could be level 10. But if you can't see it, you can't believe for it. So let's believe today. Let me pray for you, and we'll send us out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for a bold congregation. I thank you for this house, that you're teaching us how to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. That God, you're sealing our faith, God, so it does not leak. That God, you're giving us the weapons of our warfare, God. You're equipping us with the tools and the resources we need to impact your kingdom, God. Lord, I thank you for these men and women. I thank you that these marriages are being healed, that addictions are being broken, that depression is broken in the name of Jesus. Anxiety is broken in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that we are going to believe for miracles tonight. God, I ask you to anoint Pastor John Heinrichs for tonight, Lord, that you may operate in him and through him for the miraculous. God, we give you honor today. And the church said, amen. Have a great lunch.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.